The glory of God. Wasn't Jerry Savelle talking about that? The glory of God. He called it the manifested presence, power, and goodness of God. And you know, I think we may get into that a little bit later today. But what is the manifested presence, power, and goodness of God if it's not the Holy Spirit? Does that make sense to y'all? That just put it in a nutshell for me. The Holy Spirit is His manifested presence. The Holy Spirit, you know, it told them to go and wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. The Holy Spirit is power. And certainly the Holy Spirit is goodness. He's your advocate, your counselor, your standby. Amen? Another thing He said, and this has resonated in my spirit ever since He was here, and I have meditated on this, and I have decreed it, I have declared it, I have professed it. But He said, be glad that you remained faithful. Be glad that you remained faithful. Christian Growth Center, you are going to be glad that you have remained faithful. And I'm not talking to this body, I mean, I am, but glad that you remained faithful in your walk with God. No matter how many years you've been with God. You may have gotten born again just several years ago. Or you may have been walking with the Lord for 40, 50 years. You'll be glad that you remained faithful. And He gave a word of encouragement, and I have just stood on this word. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Don't give up. Remember that? I talked about that story where right around the next corner, it may be your victory is right around that next bend. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then I shared this definition of faithful, and I want to repeat it again because I think it's so key. The definition of faithful: steadfast in affection or allegiance. We are steadfast in affection and allegiance to Jesus, aren't we? Supposed to be steadfast in our allegiance to Jesus. Firm in adherence to promises or an observation of duty. Firm in adherence to promises. We are to be firm and adhere to the promises of God and not let go of them. Not let fear steal them from us. Right? Not let the enemy, what is his goal? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we cannot let him steal any longer from the body of Christ. From you and your life. You cannot allow the enemy to steal any longer. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. There is no fear here. Amen? Number three, given with strong assurance. Number four, true to the facts, to a standard, or to an original. Jesus is the original. Jesus should be the center of your life, and we should stay true to the fact that He is the standard. He is the standard. He is the standard that we are to measure everything by. And guess what? The Scripture says that we can measure up to the height or the standard height of Jesus. It's attainable, in other words. Forgive me. It's attainable. His standard is attainable in our life when He is the center of it. When He is the center of our life, it is attainable. Remain faithful to Jesus. You'll be glad you did. And to do His commandments. Isn't that what He said? You have relationship with Me when you do what I tell you to do. That's when we have relationship with Jesus. When we do what He tells us to do. How do we know what He's telling us? Well, I mean, first, you've got this book here. It has a lot of information about Jesus in it. Two, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And He will tell you. He will tell you what Jesus commands. Amen? What are His... And He made it very easy, very simple. Two commandments. He said, all the law and the prophets are wrapped up in these two commandments. Someone help me. Love God, all your soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love. We can bring it down to one word, love. Kelvin was talking about love in our class this morning. That whatever we do, if we're not doing it in love, you might as well just not do it. If you're doing it because you want gain from it, if you're doing it because you want attention from it, if you're doing it because of tradition, if you're coming in here and sitting in these seats because, you know, your great-grandfather did, your grandfather, your dad, I mean, that's tradition, and I'm not saying that you can't be a part of a godly lineage by any means, but if you're doing it out of tradition and not out of love for Jesus, then it's for naught. It's for naught. If you go and serve in a soup kitchen in Roanoke, and you're not doing it out of the love of your heart, if you're doing it just because someone invited you to, or you feel this sense of responsibility, no, it's got to be love. It's a love walk. It's a love walk. We got to be so in love with Jesus. When we are so in love with Jesus, we can't help but love everybody around us. Amen? Glory to God. I didn't even mean to get over there this morning. I was going somewhere else. I was going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how the manifested presence of God and His power and His goodness is all tied up in those gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Out of 1 Corinthians 12. But you know what? I want to just stop right here for just a second. Because I'm impressed on my heart to really dive into this a little bit. Last week I introduced something in a prayer initiative that we're going to start called Operation School Guard. We just named it that so that you would remember that catchy phrase. Operation School Guard. But we are going to take a stand. This church, Christian Growth Center, is going to take a stand in the New River Valley. We're going to say enough is enough. The enemy cannot come in and spoil, steal, kill, and destroy our children. And it's going to start with our schools. We're going to put together an initiative to pray for our schools, to pray for the students, to pray for the administration, to pray for the staff there. And that is just a starting point. We believe that I believe, and several others at least, that is a key mission of this church for this season. That we got to start somewhere. We got to stand up and take our authority as Christians. And New River Valley, I believe that where you live, okay, where you work, where you play, where you live, is your responsibility. It's your sphere of influence. So that's where we're to start. I'm all for winning the world, but Lord, let's win our community. Let's win our own house. We're going to start there. And we're putting this together, and we're going to roll it out right with before or right around back to school. And we're going to take a stand. We're going to stand for something. And it's going to be Jesus. Amen. Listen, we can tie it into the whole end time harvest. You know, the scripture says there's going to be a huge end time harvest of souls into the kingdom. We can tie it all into that. We can believe that, you know, the next generation, they are the future church, if you will, and we can tie it into that. But we just need to take a stand. We got to say enough is enough. We're not letting the enemy steal anymore. And you can take that into any area of your life. But we're going to start in this congregation with the schools. Operation School Guard, and we're going to get serious about it. And I hope you'll join us with in join your faith in that with us, and give of your time to pray. All we're asking to do is to pray. We're not asking you to go into the schools. We're not asking you to do any of that. We're just asking you to pray. Set time aside to pray for the children. Amen? You're going to be hearing more and more about it. I'm going to keep sharing that and keep... It's an assignment that this church has called to for this time. And now I've been talking about it all year long, getting in alignment with our assignment, right? I hope that's resonating with some of you. I hope that God is showing you some things. The Holy Spirit is revealing some things to you about your assignment and what you're to be doing in this earth. And listen, our assignment is simple. We're just to communicate the love of God through the person of Jesus to all that we come in contact with. And what does that look like? Well, I mean, we can, and this, you know what? Let's get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How do we do that? How do we share the love of God through the person of Jesus with a lost and dying world? What is, you know, we're not just called to come in here on Sundays, hear a nice message and go home, forget what we heard and go about our life and do those all of those things that we talked about that take the place of Jesus at the center of our life. We're not, that's not our calling. That's not what we're here for. That's not what Jesus came and died for. I mean, if he would have just taken us then. We have a mission in the earth. We have an assignment. Oh, I wrote this down and I wanted to share. We as the body of Christ are called to watch over or guard our community. You know, just like what did he task Adam with? What did God task Adam with in the garden? To take care of it, to tend to it, to tend to the garden. This was before the fall. What did Jesus come to do? He came to restore that relationship. We're to tend to the garden. Tend to our... compare the garden to our community. Tend to our community. Take care of our community. Amen? To watch over it. To guard it. But I believe we're called to do so much more than just watch and pray. I mean, I believe it starts there. But I believe as you pray and as you watch over your community, God will call you to action. He will call you to action. And just like Carol shared it this morning about when they were rebuilding the wall in the day of Nehemiah. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And their enemies were they were around about them. So what did they do? They had to work and they had to be prepared for battle at the same time. Ready to fight at any instant. We need to be tending to our garden, but we need to be doing battle at the same time, right? The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. The violent are called to action to take it back. The ground that has been stolen, we're taking it back. The enemy is trying to steal the next generation. The enemy is trying to steal the seed. And we need to say enough is enough. We're taking a stand. We're going to watch and pray, but we need to be ready to do battle too. We need to have our hammer in one hand and our sword on our hip or in our hand. And what greater weapon do you have than this right here? Amen? Jesus has called us to action. And action, you've heard this phrase or whatever you want to call it. Actions speak louder than words. You ever heard that? Actions speak louder than words. Well, faith speaks from the abundance of our heart, which calls us to action. Faith speaks. Guess what, though? If you don't have faith on the inside of you, faith isn't going to come out of your mouth. If you're not putting faith in, it's not going to come out of you. So when you get in a situation in your life, some kind of trouble or turmoil, and you don't understand, you're getting frustrated by it, you don't understand it, Are you putting faith in? And is it coming out? Are you speaking to that circumstance? But you got to put it in. What is our 3-point vision here? Sow, grow, and go. We're sowing faith, planting faith. And it'll grow into righteousness. You understand and get a revelation of your right standing with God. Right living. So that you can go into your community and take a stand and say enough is enough. No faith inside of you or in your heart, then you're not going to speak in it. If you don't speak it, you will not perform it. So the first step is to get it in you. How? By hearing. We know the scripture. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. That means over and over. You got to hear the same thing over and over. I mean, you just think about the ministry of Jesus, okay? He did not just preach, for instance, the parable of seed time, or the sower, the parable of the sower. He didn't just preach it once. I mean, I can't imagine he just preached it once. And then the inspiration of God, they wrote these things down. But I believe he preached that everywhere he went. So that they would hear, and that they would hear, and that they would hear. And then that faith would rise up on the inside of them. If you want faith, you have to hear it. Once you hear it over and over, faith arises and comes out of your mouth. And as you speak it, you become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. As you speak it, you know, a lot of us can get a lot of head knowledge, right? I mean, we can get a lot of head knowledge. We can know a lot of stuff. We can quote scriptures, even. We can know, but until we put it into practice. Right? Faith speaks. Well, you remind me of that scripture where Paul said that he did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and in power. Well, I believe when he went into those situations, he didn't just come in and lay hands on someone and not say anything. He spoke and performed it. He didn't perform it. Power inside of him performed it. We all have that same power residing on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of each and every one of us. And you have to believe that. You have to be convinced of it. You have to be confident in it. That's how you operate in the things that Jesus did when he said, you know, these miracles I do, but greater you will do. We have to be confident in who we are in Christ. Amen? Faith, speaking, and doing. It's all tied together. Without faith, we cannot be pleasing to God. Don't you want to please God? You better understand what faith is. And you can't be in faith and fear at the same time. You can't. They cannot coexist at the same moment. So if you are in fear about something, one, fear is a liar. And you need to get in faith about it. You need to understand your rights as a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, the power that dwells on the inside of you to speak to that situation. Amen? That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, we have the gifts of the Spirit. And that, I believe, is His manifestation. That's where You know, I think we can tie that into what Brother Jerry was talking about, that manifestation of His presence, His power, and His goodness, all tied into the person of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And so what is the manifestation of it? It's if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is the gifts of the Spirit that He has given to us. Let's look there. Let's just read them. Let's review them. I know you all know them, but let's review them. I need review. Do y'all need review? Y'all need to wake up? Do we need to stand up and do some jumping jacks? Or are y'all just thinking about this? Is it seeping in? Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Let's start in 4. I'll be reading out of the Amplified. I know we don't have that version because I keep forgetting to load it or call the company. So somebody help. Somebody call me this week at the office. I don't care what day it is. Wednesday be preferable. Not in the hours of 12 and 1. And remind me and say, load that version of the Bible on our software. Okay? I'm tasking somebody with that. And all y'all will say, oh, somebody else will do it, so I'm not going to call. And then nobody will call. Somebody call me. I'm serious. All right. Verse 4 says, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, that is, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. That tells me right there, and I like the way the Amplified breaks that out. It is a grace, and so in other words, we're not all going to operate at the same level, in the same gift. It's portioned out, right? So you don't have to, if you see someone walking in a certain gift, say the gift of faith, that they have faith for things that you can't even imagine having faith for, right? Don't bring yourself into condemnation. Don't say, oh, well, it's just not for me. No, no. They're just walking in a can I say in a grace that maybe you don't have revelation of as of yet? Is that okay? You think so? All right, you think about that and you correct me if it's not. Don't look at someone else's gift with envy, with disappointment because you don't walk in that gift. You know, I think I've shared this before. You know, Pastor Rob walks in that gift of interpretation. He has that gift of interpretation of tongues. I haven't walked in that gift. And it used to bother me, but I believe I've gotten revelation. It's okay. Not all. And not that it can't happen. Anyways, do you see my point there? Gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. These gifts are for good and for profit. The manifested presence, power, and goodness of God is for a purpose. It's not just so we can say, oh, goody, goody, it's for me, I've got it, and that's it. They're for a purpose. We operate in the gifts for a purpose. Amen? To one is given, verse 8, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith. by the same Holy Spirit to another the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophetic insight, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. You know, have you ever been around someone that can discern spirits, especially in people? Have you ever been around? And I don't know why, for some reason I see that in more in females than males. I'm not saying carte blanche. But there's something in the female part that they received from God that they have the ability to discern quicker and more accurately, I would say, for some reason, than men. Not all. I mean, I believe I have discernment of spirits. I do. But for some reason, I don't know where I'm going with that. It's just an observation. It's an observation. So all these gifts, verse 11, all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. See, He chooses. He chooses. I know we want to choose our gifts sometimes. And I know that there's, you know, you can take these spiritual gifting tests to give you some kind of idea of what your spiritual gift may be. But I know there are people, and I'm probably one of them, that's really want a certain gift. And you can go after it, right? He says in another part, to earnestly seek after. How's it? Huh? Earnestly desire the higher gifts, prophecy, things as such. We can go after them. But He has put a gift inside of each one of us. And why am I sharing all this? Because we have a responsibility to our community to be operating in our gifts, not here in the church as much as out there. Listen, this cannot replace. Coming in here cannot replace out there. It cannot replace. And I believe that's where a pitfall the church, universal, has fallen into. They've come and gathered inside of four walls, and these things have been in operation within the four walls. People getting set free, delivered. You know, the gifts of operation. Our gifts are in operation, but cannot replace it happening out there. I believe it's a tactic of the enemy that he has deceived us and convinced us that all that's to take place in here, and that's fine and dandy. You just have your little church club where everybody's and people are going to come in and get blessed. I'm not saying that, but it cannot replace. That needs to be happening as well as out there. Just like the story I shared last week about that girl at Lowe's. For you that weren't here, I want to recount that because I believe that is at the heart of what we are to be doing as Christians in our community. So I go into Lowe's, I'm returning an item, and there's a kind lady there behind the register, and she's helping me. And so she's like this, and I notice she has several tattoos. But I noticed a tattoo in writing, right? It was about right here. And for the life of me, I can't remember the exact words of it, but the idea of it was this. That something like, daily I have to fight my demons, or daily I have to battle my demons. Were y'all here last week? You didn't hear this. So she has this tattoo that says, daily I have to battle my demons, or something to that effect. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it. And I just say, what are your demons? And she got this puzzled look on her face and had to think for a second. And this was her response. She said, oh, they're asleep now. And I missed it, Gene. I missed it. I know what I was supposed to say after I left. I know I was supposed to say, well, do you want them to be gone forever? Or, you know, do you want to be you want them to sleep permanently? I mean, something to that. If I know I was supposed to say that and then talk to her about Jesus. And I missed it. I missed it. I didn't say that. But this is what we are called to do in our community. How can I word this to really convey my heart? I believe that there are people that their assignment, their mission, is to street evangelize, to be missionaries and go to other parts and tell the good things of God. But I believe that in these last days, tied to the harvest of souls, it's just my contention that it's going to happen more like that. That God is going to open doors to us personally in situations. You know, I wasn't going into Lowe's to try to find someone that looked down and out and approach them and minister to them. I wasn't trying. That door was opened. And I believe that's how it's going to happen. That's just my conviction, my contention. So each of us have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to have the mindset that those opportunities are going to come across our path all the time. And when we have that mindset, when our heart is prepared, we have the Holy Spirit is working with us, giving us the words to say. That, I believe, is how the harvest is going to come in to the kingdom. At least a great part of it, I believe. It's us individually operating in our gift out there that's going to bring them into the kingdom. And I know, that statement alone, the enemy has used that statement to strike fear in you right now, thinking that you are going to have to do something. Huh? I've been there. I know. But we got to say enough is enough. We got to stand our ground and stand up for what we believe. And Jesus has to be at the center of it all. I'd rather be a fool for God than just a fool. You know, I mean, I don't know if it comes. I think it. Oh, my dad, God love him. I think it's just an age thing. He just thinks he can say whatever he wants sometimes. He don't care. And I feel like we need to be that way about Jesus. We can just say, talk about Jesus and not care, you know, what the person or whoever's going to think about us. You know, with that fear of rejection. It's such a lie. You are accepted. You are loved by your Father in heaven. What can man do to you? You are loved. You are accepted. What can man do to you? Why are we in fear of what man is going to think when we talk to them about the person that can change their destiny forever? Why do we get in fear about that? Why do we allow the enemy to get us in fear about that? I'm telling you, I'm here to encourage you. We've got to start doing this as a body. We've got to start doing this. We've got to start reaching our community. We've got to start reaching our family and friends and coworkers. And listen, I'm not saying get in trouble, you know. I mean, abide by the laws of the land. You know, if your workplace says, you know, you can't go in and get up on your desk and start preaching about Jesus. I'm not telling you to do that so you get fired and then you have... Y'all hear what I'm saying. Amen? I mean, we've got to get to this. We've got to get to this. I believe we're in a new season. I believe there was a season for all, you know, that we've experienced up until now. But I believe the church is in a great fork in the road, if you will, or decision. And we've got to say enough is enough. We've got to go with Jesus. We've got to go with Jesus. He's got to be the center of it all. He's got to be the reason. He's got to be. And listen, then what we say, all those other things will be added. You know? We're not to seek after, you know, wealth, and but all those things will be added. They'll all be added. Oh, Lord, where do I want to go from here? Where do you want to go? Holy Spirit. We're to use these gifts to promote the kingdom in the earth. We're to use these gifts in our own lives to believe. For what? Healing, deliverance, freedom from fear, doubt, and unbelief. 1 John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith. Our faith in what? It's like when Jesus told Peter, he said, on this rock I will build my church. What rock? The revelation that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. That's the revelation we need to have. And when we have that revelation, when we put Jesus at the center of it all, then we will have peace to go out and joy to go out. And be operating in our righteousness to go out and talk to the world about Jesus. We cannot allow fear to hold us back any longer. Our faith in Jesus allows us to overcome everything in this world. Everything that this world can throw at you. Our faith can overcome it. Sickness, disease, poverty, depression, oppression. Obsession, addiction, affliction, possession, and even, you put a word in there. It all can be overcome. All can be overcome. All those are just manifestations of fear in our life. They're just manifestations of fear in our life. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. Versus the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the glory of God, or His manifested presence, power, and goodness. Jesus came to conquer all those fears, all that doubt, all that unbelief, once and for all. He did it once and for all. And what are we to do? We're to uphold that victory every day in our lives and in our community. We're to uphold the victory that Jesus gave us. Did He not? Did He not give us the victory? Did He not conquer death? Did He not provide healing for us? Did He not provide deliverance for us? Did He not come to set the captives free? Once and for all. Teresa, that's second to the last song we did. I don't know the title of it, but will you put that verse up that repeated itself? Lord, something, help me. Second to last song, the verse that just keeps repeating. It had the same line each sentence. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop? There's one person, I believe, that can stop the Lord Almighty. And it's you. You are the only person that can stop the Lord Almighty in your life. The enemy can't stop Him. Your spouse can't stop them. Your friends, your coworkers, whatever they say about you, there's only one person that can stop the Lord Almighty, and that's you. Jesus came to conquer them once and for all. All those manifested fears that I just said, and whatever other manifested fear you experience in your life, He came to conquer them all once and for all. And we're to uphold that victory. And if we don't uphold the victory, the enemy just creeps right back in, right? You think militarily. When a country comes in, invades another country, and deposes that leadership, conquers that country, what do? They leave behind a presence in that country. I don't know that there's ever been a war where there hasn't been a presence of that military left in that country. Why? Why do they do that? So that the enemy won't regain power. Listen, Jesus came, fought the battle, won it, put us in place to uphold the victory. Our presence here in this earth is to uphold the victory that He won, bought, paid for with His own blood. And if we fall down on the job, guess what? The enemy can creep right back in and still kill and destroy. Christ invaded earth, conquered the devil, and left us in charge to uphold His victory. How are we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? We should be taking ground. But are we even holding on to what Christ already won for us? These are just questions that come to my mind. I'm just sharing my mind with you. My heart. We're to be taking ground. But some people sense that we're giving up ground. Take the schools, for instance. I believe that's ground that's been given up. Yes. It's been given up. I believe it starts in the home. I believe, the parents and it's all tied together, and it's all just kind of, that's how the enemy works. He's very subtle. He's very gradual. This has been happening over years. Not months, not even a year. Years. The enemy has infiltrated our schools, our homes, even our churches. And we've allowed it. We've allowed it. But now enough is enough. We can't impose our... We've talked about this in class. We were mentioning it. We can't impose our will on others. But we can intercede. And that's what Operation School Guard is. Intercession. We are interceding on behalf of those students, staff, and administration. We are... standing in the gap. Because we believe there is always hope. You have to know that there's always hope. Always hope. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. No matter what situation you're facing right now. It could be a loved one. A relationship. It could be financial. It could be health in your body or someone else's body. Whatever situation you are facing, don't give up. There is hope. And Jesus is that hope. He bought and paid a great price for you to have that hope. Only believe and watch the salvation of the Lord. John 4, the Bible records a woman who went to the well. A Samaritan woman, you know the story, was getting water from the well. Jesus came up and asked for a drink, and you know the whole conversation they had. One woman planted a seed in a city, and many lives were changed just from her testimony. And then Jesus came to that same city, and many more lives were changed, all from the seed of the one woman. And then you heard the story, or the account of Philip after this going to Samaria and performing many miracles. Changed the whole city. And it all started with one woman who believed. Are you that one person that can plant the seed to change the New River Valley? Because it only takes one. God can use one. Now many, what's that saying? Many hands make the work light. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. There is something to coming together as a corporate body. But God can use one. Are you one? Are you the one? Are you the woman at the well that could change an entire city? Change the direction, the destiny of an entire city. Could be you. May only take one woman or one man to reap the harvest in the NRV from seed that has been... Listen to this. See, this is... She planted a seed, I believe. There were people that believed on her testimony alone and then believed when Jesus came. She planted a seed, but then Philip came. I believe he watered that seed and great harvest came from it. I believe much seed has been sown into the New River Valley. Are we going to be the Phillips that reap the harvest by being obedient? Philip was obedient to go down to Samaria. Are we going to be obedient to go to the New River Valley and reap a harvest? A harvest. That's what I want so much for this church, for this body of believers, is to build a foundation on the same revelation that Peter had. I mean, God said He'd build His church on that foundation, on that rock. I want us all to have that revelation that Jesus is the center of it all. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the deliverer. He's the salvation of the world. He is all in all. That's what we need to build the foundation on. He's the Savior of the world. Not me, not you. Not anyone else but Jesus. He did give us His Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to uphold the victory that He bought and paid for with His own life. And His name. He gave us His name. The name of Jesus. That every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.